Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to UCC Waupun, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or at some other time. Welcome to the last Sunday in June. I can't believe it. After worship today, at 11:30 over at Celebrate Waupun, there is a community worship service where several of the area churches are getting together to worship. So if you're feeling ecumenical, you are very welcome to go there at 11:30. Becky has an announcement.
Yes. Good morning. We have two special birthdays to celebrate this coming week. Pastor Jacob celebrates his on Thursday the 2nd. And on July 4th, we're celebrating Laura, our amazing and faithful 100% Zoom service attendee. Be sure to wish them both a very happy birthday. And if you see them or catch them online, we hope your birthdays are filled with joy, laughter, and many blessings. And we'd like the congregation to sing. And just so we sound okay when it gets to their names, we'll say Laura first and then Jacob. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laura and Dorothy. Happy birthday to you.
Dorothy's birthday is this week as well, so happy birthday to Dorothy.
Well, any other announcements this morning? Okay. We are doing a video call to worship this morning. This is a poem by Maya Angelou called Touched by an Angel.
We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love leaves its high, holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet, if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity. In the flush of love's light, we dare be brave. And suddenly, we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet, it is only love which sets us free.
Please join me in the opening prayer. God of great love, we thank you for always reaching for us, holding out your hands. As you have showed us a reckless and abounding love, help us do so for one another. Help us love without asking if others are worthy. Help us love without agendas or desire to change a person's sense of self. Help us love as generously as you love us. Amen. Please rise and join us in the opening hymn, 397.
Mm-hmm.
You may be seated.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Song of Songs 2, 8 through 17. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies. Until the day breeze and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved. Be like a gazelle or a young stag on the cleft mountains." And the reading from our New Testament is 1 John 4, 7 through 19. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deanne. We are in the third week of the media team Made Me Preach It. And today, Deb put together Can't Help Falling in Love by Michael Bublé.
Only fools rush in.
Thank you, Deb, for putting that together. Friends, let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So I remember once when I was a young kid, I asked my parents why they don't kiss in public that often. I said, "Does that mean you don't love each other, that you don't want to kiss each other in public?" They laughed and they said, "You know, no, of course we love each other. It's just that sometimes it's inappropriate for people to share that super openly, especially if they're super private people." Well, you know, my fiance calls me a hopeless romantic. And to that I say, I'm guilty as charged. I love love. I love it when other people show that they're in love with each other, especially in the world we live in where indifference or even hatred towards one another is far more common. But it turns out, as a society, we can be a little bit uncomfortable with love, even in biblical illustrations. We might feel a little bit uncomfortable when we hear scriptures like 1 John that say we should love one another because love is from God, as important as it is. Sometimes that description of love might come across as polite or restrained or maybe even sanitized. But rightly or wrongly, it's easier to swallow that than a lot of what Song of Songs is saying today. Even worse, somehow our religious understanding of love got co-opted by people who thought love the sinner, hate the sin was a way to understand what Christian love requires of us. Pastor David Thomas of Refuge Church in Fort Myers, Florida, reminded his congregation in a sermon recently that the phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin, has caused deep harm, especially to LGBTQ+ people, single parents, and anyone who has ever felt judged by Christians. With the love often disappearing and the hate becoming the focus, turning the person themselves into the problem. As I read that, I thought about several other groups of people who might fit on the long list of people judged by Christians, like drug addicts or alcoholics and people of color, and the list goes on. So today, I'd like to propose a different biblical interpretation based on both of today's texts. I'd like us to consider the reality that God shows God's love for us in amazing and unimaginable ways. And it is that expansive kind of love that 1 John commands us to emulate. And it turns out that Scripture gives us a picture of that expansive love in the most unexpected place, a poem about human desire that has made readers squirm for centuries. Now, it's not often that you hear preachers reflect on a text from Song of Songs, sometimes known as Song of Solomon, even though it's biblical, it's right there. It's right there in the Old Testament. Because at its core, this text is love poetry. While it veils anything sexual behind nature imagery and various kinds of metaphor, it still can feel a little suggestive. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. My beloved is hot. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one. This is fun. And come away. It's something that many preachers don't always want to unpack in depth, and many congregations might squirm a little bit in their seats or laugh at their pastor if they're exposed to it that much. Because it's kind of awkward. The scholar Robert W. Jensen says plainly, the book is a love song about real physical attraction and sexual desire. The people in it speak freely about what they want and what they feel. No apologies, no hiding, no concern about whether their community approves. But it felt appropriate for today because of the song that Deb chose, and as soon as they chose it, they said, good luck! So as it turns out, even though the text of Song of Songs never mentions God or has any theological language in it, many commentators agree that this whole book of the Bible is meant to be a metaphor for the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. That's a long interpretive tradition, and I'm leaning into it, even though I recognize that it's not, that's a little bit of an oversimplification. It doesn't capture everything. Another thing that commentators agree on is that the voice of this this text is probably a woman, and not many texts women are not usually the primary speaker in biblical texts. So I want to make sure I tell you that, but we can't fully understand divine love from God's side. But we do know what longing feels like. We do know what it feels like to want someone to come out of hiding. We know what mutual belonging feels like. My beloved is mine and I am his. So when Scripture wants us to understand something true about God's love, it reaches for exactly those kinds of experiences. Elvis, and later Michael Bublé, sang that wise men restrain, but fools can't help themselves. Maybe the point is that God, or Christ, is the divine fool. The one who can't calculate or withhold, who just falls. Christ can't help falling in love with us. Christ wants to draw us nearer to him and nearer to the refuge of his protection. The metaphor is that Christ pursues us as lovers pursue one another. Now, you might be sitting there thinking this is a little creepy, but that's okay, because reading Song of Songs has made people uncomfortable for centuries. And that discomfort might actually be the point. It refuses to let us keep love as safely abstract. It gives us a window into how deeply God loves us. And it's because we have that window into how deeply God loves us that we can understand what 1 John says maybe a little bit better, that we should love one another as God first loved us. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Maya Angelou put it this way in the poem we heard earlier, love strikes away the fear. That's not so different from what John says. Now, even with the best of intentions, love the sinner, hate the sin doesn't actually work, because in practice, it does something we never meant it to do, making someone's wrongdoing a part of their identity. When sin is intertwined with identity, to hate the sin is to hate the sinner. So what does it mean for us as we consider how to love each other in this time and place? Now, nationally, LGBTQ Pride Month is coming to a close in a couple of days, and Disability Pride Month begins in July. As someone with cerebral palsy, I know what it means to need someone to say, God loves you exactly as you are, body and all. But here in this community, in this greater Waupun area, we have that opportunity to share that kind of love with one another every day. A love that casts out fear. So many of you have worked in the correctional institutions in this town. And many of you have told me stories about how you developed the philosophy of understanding that incarcerated individuals are people too. They are people worthy of God's love and grace, no matter what they have done, no matter who they are. You understand that it never makes sense to make someone's wrongdoing a part of their identity. Here in this church, we've also helped many people whose lives have been affected by drug addiction and alcoholism, whether by becoming addicted themselves or by having a family member who has abused drugs or alcohol. We remind our community that God loves us no matter who we are, where we are on life's journey, what has happened in our lives up until now. Because God can't help claim us as one of God's beloved. So as you go into this week, I invite you to think about the people that our society struggles to see as beloved, and how you might be able to show them a different kind of message. Think about the person behind bars, the one in recovery, the one who's told by Christians that they're the problem. How might you show them that perfect love casts out fear? For the ways you have done that already, and for the ways you will continue to do so, I say thanks be to God. Amen. So now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's begin in a time of silence, thinking of those folks. Amen. I have a few prayer requests today. We have been praying for a while for Laura Reynolds' brother David. And he passed away earlier this week. So I ask you to hold Laura's family in love as they remember him. God, in your mercy. We remember the folks on hospice in our congregation, Harriet and Roger. God, in your mercy. In care facilities, we've got Barb Page, who's at the Christian Home, and Connie White is at a facility in Oshkosh. God, in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning? I'm not seeing anything here.
I have a birthday. My mom's birthday is coming up on Saturday as well. Ooh. And also I know Ken Hunick has a birthday on Saturday, and I would like to wish them a happy birthday.
Yeah.
We will be at Summerfest on Saturday seeing Jelly Roll, so I won't be here Sunday morning, but...
Jelly Roll.
Yeah. And then we have a Zoom... Yeah, for the people of Venezuela recovering from the major earthquakes, and then for a safe and calm holiday this week.
Yes, indeed. I'll take those one at a time. For everybody who has birthdays this week, because I know that I'm going to forget somebody. God, in your mercy. For those in Venezuela who are recovering from the earthquake, God, in your mercy. for the ways that this country can celebrate and for the ways that we want to be better as a country. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. Then let us be in prayer together. Gracious God, you have shown us how we ought to love one another because you have first loved us. You love us with reckless abandon. You love us in ways that we could never imagine. In spite of all of the reasons we might feel we are unlovable. Help us when we are unlovely towards one another. Help us when we try to convince ourselves that other people's identity is the problem. Help us when we are ignorant to others' suffering and to others' need. We ask you to be with all of us, all of those whose names have been listed today, those who have birthdays coming up, those who are in care facilities or hospice, those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, those whose lives are complicated by things they can't control. We ask you to be with all of those in Venezuela who are recovering after earthquakes. Help them get the care they need and the resources they need through people like us. Help us be your hands and feet of love to those in our community and broader who are facing housing insecurity, food insecurity, poverty, discrimination in all of its forms. We pray this in your name as you have loved us and in the name of your Son who shows us the way to love and teaches us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like to make a gift in the box, in the plate this morning, the ushers will come around. Otherwise, you may also give a gift online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so remembering that your gift benefits not only this local church, but also the church universal. Thank you. rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Join me in the prayer of dedication. With these gifts, O God, help us show others your great love for all people. Use these gifts and our lives to demonstrate that love is greater than fear, and grace extends beyond imperfection. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 719, Go My Children With My Blessing. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4. My friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place remembering that you are so deeply loved, like more deeply loved than you could ever know. And may you be images of that love and likenesses of that love for others. May you help others know that they are worth loving, that they are worth believing in, because God believes in you. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.